If you think failure means dead end, no way you're bouncing back, shame, judgment, mistakes, not good enough, of course you would be afraid of that. Who gets to decide what success and failure looks like? You do. That's something you need to decide for yourself. You can't live your life on society's definitions of success and failure because you will be scared and you will be miserable.
Do you find yourself winging your way through life, hoping you'll figure it all out on the way? Hello, it's me, Gabby Mendez, your 20s wingwoman, and you're listening to the Talk 20s podcast. Here you'll find me chatting to influential 20-somethings on different topics that matter to you in your 20s and all the things we never got taught in school. This is your ultimate guide to adult life. So if you're ready, let's go. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Talk 20s podcast. Before we get started and I introduce today's guest, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube so you can catch us every week in the studio. Today's guest couldn't make it into the studio, but we're delighted to be joined by her virtually. Tiwa Ogunlesi is a globally recognized coach specializing in positive psychology, an international speaker and founder of Confident and Killing It. Confident and Killing It is a purpose-driven organization and community that wakes women up to their worth so they can be confident, unstoppable, and dare to live the life they truly desire. Tiwa equips women with the tools they need to overcome fear and self-doubt and program their minds for success and take action on life. And I cannot wait to chat with her today. You are in for a treat. So hello, Tiwa. Welcome to the podcast. It's so lovely to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's exciting. Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I am such a huge fan of yours. For anyone who's listening right now who perhaps doesn't know that much about you, could you just give us a little bit of a rundown of everything that you do and a little bit of your history?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Tiwa Lola Ogunlesi, Tiwa for short, and I'm a confidence coach and the founder of Confident and Killing It. Confident and Killing It is a self-love revolution that wakes women up to their worth so they can be confident, unstoppable, and really just dare to live the life that they truly desire. So there's kind of four pillars to what I do. I have the Confident and Killing It podcast, where as a coach, I'm like breaking down, you know, like personal growth concepts and tools and strategies to build your confidence and love and believe in yourself. I also have my one-to-one coaching that I work with mostly female entrepreneurs at the moment, helping them feel confident enough to leave their full-time jobs or build their business, things like that. I also run corporate well-being workshops. So I go into some of the biggest companies in the world, like Facebook, Google, TikTok, Deloitte, Morgan Stanley, and I run workshops for the employees there in terms of building confidence, feeling engaged at work, speaking up. And then finally, I have the Confident and Killing It community, where women all over the world gather every month to just come and celebrate themselves and connect with other women. And there's loads of events and things happening and inspiration on social media. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Wow, yeah. So much going on. I honestly think that you're such an inspiring person. I've loved listening to your podcast. I love watching everything you post on social media. I just think you're brilliant at what you do. So thank you so much for sharing your time to come onto the podcast today, because I know this is going to be a fabulous episode. We're going to talk a little bit about obviously confidence and how you can kind of find that as a 20-something, because I think, would you agree that kind of the decade of your 20s is kind of all about finding yourself and finding that inner strength that you have? Would you agree?
Yeah, totally. For me, 20s is all about discovery and reinventing yourself. So yeah, I think it's definitely a time to explore and be adventurous and to, you know, start investing in yourself. Mm-hmm. Because one of the biggest myths I thought in my early 20s was that growth comes with age. So when I was 21, I was like, when I'm 25, I'll be making money, life will be good. And then you get to 25 and you're like, wow, adulting is the absolute ghetto. And yeah. So I learned very early on that growth doesn't come with age. Like, you actually have to invest in yourself. And so that begins literally in your 20s. Yeah.
I think a great point you make there about investing in yourself. I think a lot of us are kind of rushing onto the next thing or putting pressure on ourselves to find a certain employer, to do stuff for, you know, for find fulfillment and stuff like that. But I think actually sometimes investing in yourself is one of those things. Well, investing in money, for example, it takes a long time to kind of see the benefits of it. And I think it's the same when you invest in yourself, isn't it? So sometimes if you invest time, energy, whether it's online courses, whether it's reading books, whether it's listening to podcasts and stuff like that, I think a lot of young people really want that kind of immediate output. Immediately, they can immediately show the evidence that they've read that book or they've worked on themselves. And it's kind of like not an overnight thing. It's a whole journey that you're kind of going on, isn't it? Especially when it comes to confidence.
Yeah, totally. Like I always say to people, confidence is a practice. You don't go to the gym for the first time and wake up the next day with abs. Like that would be nice, but unfortunately it's not realistic. So confidence is really like putting in the baby steps every single day. And the beautiful thing about confidence is if your confidence has been knocked, it can actually be rebuilt using very strategic steps. And so, but you have to make the commitment to yourself that every single day when you wake up, you're going to do one thing to work on your confidence, right? You're not just, you don't just wake up one day and like everything is in place and you're like absolutely flawless. Again, that would be nice, but it's not realistic. So I think we have to look at life as a journey and building blocks, right? Every single day is an opportunity for you to take one step towards becoming the person that you want to become, instead of just expecting you to wake up after one podcast and everything will be fixed.
Absolutely. So have you got any ideas or tips or practical kind of guidance for someone listening right now who is really, really struggling with self-doubt or confidence and they're really kind of feeling like, I just don't know where to start when it comes to building my confidence? What would you say to someone who's really just starting out on that journey?
Yeah. So first things first is understand that you've got to know what your strengths are. You've got to know what your passions are, and you've got to combine those two things to form your power circle. So you will be your most confident self when you are living in alignment with your strengths and your passions. Now, a lot of people, when I ask them to tell me what their strengths are, they're like looking left and right, looking up at heaven, hoping something drops down. And I'm like, honey, God is not going to save you right now. You need to know this for yourself. And then when I ask them to tell me what their weaknesses are, they're like, oh, Tiwa, I'm always late. I'm so bad at this. I'm terrible at that. I'm so awkward in public. It rolls off their tongue. And I'm like, think about it. What's going on in your mind if all that's coming out of your mouth is negative, 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 negative? And so the first thing that I realized when I started my confidence journey was that my mind was a battlefield. Your positive and negative thoughts are always fighting for your attention. But you have the power to actually reprogram your mind for success. And the moment I knew that, oh, my mind isn't just a negative mind, I can actually turn that around so that I have a mind that empowers me and supports me, I was like, right, where are my tools? Let's go. And the first tool is know your strengths. You need to be able to articulate your strengths and really know what you're passionate about, and then find something that combines those things together. And then once you know your strengths, the next step is you have to start challenging the negativity when it arises. On my Instagram, I have a 1 minute imposter syndrome video, like how to overcome imposter syndrome in 60 seconds. And I like to see it as like you're in a court case and your negative thoughts are trying to hold you back in life and are trying to sabotage you and throw you in jail. And your positive thoughts are the ones who are going to be your lawyers and defend you so that you can live freely and be confident and love the life that you get to have. And, you know, a lot of us just allow negative thoughts to come into our minds and just throw a party and just be really mean to us. And we just go, oh, yeah, that must be right. I'm not a creative person. Yeah. Or, oh, yeah, that must be right. I'm a failure. Like, what? No, you need to be able to challenge that negativity, right? Mm. And so if you don't know your strengths, you can't challenge that negativity. So first steps to building confidence, know the greatness that is inside of you. Know what you're good at doing. Know why you're proud of yourself. Know what you bring to the table. What are the skills, you know, all of these things. And then use those strengths to combat the self-doubt and the negativity that will tend to rise up as you live through life.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think a lot about what we see on the outside probably and what we kind of see confidence as being is kind of an outward journey as well. And I think it does kind of get to that point. I definitely feel like confidence is something that you have to nurture within you before you can then express it, because, you know, some people might come across really confident, but actually inside they may not be, for example. How do you kind of, you know, be bold and take action in that scenario? How do you show that you are confident on the inside, but you are also able to show that in a confident setting as well?
So taking action is actually a really big part of confidence. And a big part of building your confidence is also keeping the promises that you make to yourself. So if you say you're gonna do something and you break that promise, you lose confidence. If you do that over and over again, you won't believe in yourself, right? Imagine if I said to you, oh yeah, I'm gonna show up and maybe take you out for lunch. And every week I said, I'm gonna take you out for lunch, but I never showed up. Would you even trust me? Would you believe anything that I said? No. And it's the same way. If you keep telling yourself, oh, I'm gonna do that tomorrow, I'm gonna do that tomorrow, and tomorrow comes and you don't do it, you lose belief in yourself, and that stops you from taking action in life. So I always like to say, like, start with the baby steps, like break it down. For me, I just focus on winning today. So I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't have a 10-year plan. I'm just like, okay, what do I need to do today to honor my values, to, you know, find my joy, to honor the commitments I have, to build my confidence? And I do those things. And it's really the baby steps every day that lead to you building your confidence and taking action. And I'm feeling more inspired to do so.
Mm-hmm. It's like a snowball effect, isn't it? Like you push, you start off maybe small at the beginning, you push it off the hill and it collects you, and it gains momentum as you go along. And like the more consistent that you are, the more that's gonna benefit you, and you'll end up with a great big massive snowball at the bottom of the hill eventually.
Yes. And also, it's not always gonna be a smooth ride, right? Just because you're taking action and you're being brave and confident doesn't mean that it's always going to go your way. Confidence isn't an absence of self-doubt. It's even when the self-doubt shows up, how do you respond, right? Do you keep on going, or do you hesitate and feel like you're a failure and you know, fall off the path that you're on? So yeah, also understanding that it is a roller coaster. You're going to go up and you're going to go down, but that's just a part of it. And like roller coasters, even though they're hanging upside down, they keep moving till they reach the finish line. So yeah, just kind of keeping that in mind when you're just kind of navigating that space of like taking action and taking risks. And actually, another thing is, fear is also a really big thing that stops people from taking action.
Ask you about that. Yeah. I think when we put out a little bit of a poll earlier on, a couple of weeks ago, we asked kind of what is the three biggest things that you kind of fear as a 20-something? And I'm going to ask you about each one. So the first one that often people talk about when it comes to things that they feel afraid of and why they wouldn't necessarily be confident in something is that they're afraid of failure. How do you handle failure? And what's your advice when you're talking to someone or you're coaching someone who is worried or scared about the fact that they might fail at something?
Yeah, it's such an interesting one. Everyone is so afraid of failure, but really and truly, it's like the least scariest thing ever. And this is what I teach my clients to do one-to-one, reframing failure, right? Because the meaning you put behind things is really important. If you think failure means dead end, no way you're bouncing back, shame, judgment, mistakes, not good enough, of course you would be afraid of that, right? But who gave that definition failure, right? Like, who gets to decide what success and failure looks like? You do. That's something you need to decide for yourself, because what could be success for me could be different to somebody else. What could be a failure to me could be different to somebody else. So you can't live your life on society's definitions of success and failure, because you will be scared and you will be miserable. So this is where being able to live life on your own terms really comes in, because the definition society has created around failure is scary. So that's the first thing, like being able to reframe failure.
I love that.
For me, I think, you know, failure is not your identity. You can never be a failure. You can experience failure. It can happen to you, but it is never who you are. It is impossible for you to physically, as your identity, be a failure. So when you know that failure is something that happens to you and not who you are, when something happens to you, it usually has a start and an end. And that's the way failure works. Something, you start something, maybe it didn't work out and it ends. Fine. Now, when it ends, you have choices that you can make. You can turn the page, start a new chapter. You can get back up again, or you can decide, you know what, this is not a path I actually want to pursue. I'm going to try something else.
Mm-hmm. But you're so right.
Yeah, but if you internalize failure, and this is, I was reading an article on the confidence gap between men and women. Let's say two people sit an exam, right? And they both get bad results, one man and one woman. The woman will go, oh my gosh, I failed that exam. That must mean there must be something wrong with me. Women tend to internalize failure as something intrinsically wrong with us. That's so dangerous. Whereas men, on the other hand, will go, oh gosh, that was a really hard exam. Like, who created that paper? Like, wow, that was challenging. Mm-hmm. They look at the situation totally as different. A challenge,
yeah.
Rather than them thinking, oh, it's not that their abilities that's the problem. It's the person who created that paper that has the problem, you know? So yeah. In that sense, we really need to get better at not internalizing failure as something being wrong with us. It's just a situation. It happens. And it's definitely something you can bounce back from.
Oh, such wise words that I think you're so right about not internalizing that failure, because, you know, I think, yes, as a woman myself, I've definitely had the approach that you just talked about where I'm like, oh, is it me? Have I done something wrong? I always look at it from like my perspective, but it's important to remember that there's so many other factors possibly at play when, you know, something doesn't work out how you hoped. And it's important to remember that, you know, I think it also comes from like, the fact that like you always want to feel like you're in control, but sometimes you can't control everything. So it's really, really important to remember that. So incredible advice there. One of the other things that people mentioned that they were really, really scared of, and we talked about it a couple of times on the podcast, was criticism. So I think they were worried of like, you know, what other people think of them and come, you know, are they going to think badly of me? And, you know, what are they going to think if I do this? Like, maybe it's an element of perfectionism as well. Like, they want to do something so well that there's no way that anyone can criticize you. That's just not possible, is it? No one can, no. You can't be perfect to everyone, can you?
Exactly. Yeah. The goal is not to be liked by everyone. It's impossible to be liked by everyone. The goal is to be your true, authentic self and let the people who like you find you and form community with you. And the people who don't like you can literally get lost. Like, you don't have to be friends with everyone. And the thing is, why are you expecting everyone to like you when you don't even like everyone? Like, let's keep it real, right? No one likes everyone. There are people you don't like, and that's fine. You're not meant to like everyone. And if everyone likes you, then you're probably doing something wrong and you're trying your hardest to please every single person, which is going to be exhausting. So you're absolutely right about the perfectionism thing. Perfectionism is a fear that if we don't show up perfectly and if we don't tick all the boxes, then we will experience judgment and shame. And so a lot of people want to go and aim for perfectionism so that no one can ever say anything bad about them. But the funny thing is, whether you do or you don't, people are still going to say something, right? And it is not your responsibility to manage what people think of you, because when people look at you, they're not just looking at you for who you are. They're looking at you from a lens of their own mindset and their own insecurities, right? So there's already so many things that come in the middle of them even like guessing who you are or their thoughts around you, right? Because their own thoughts are influencing how they see you. So I always say to people, like, the message in you is more important than the fear you feel. And I started Confident and Killing It back in 2017. But a year before that, I was posting 1 minute inspirational videos on Instagram. Now, before I posted my first ever video on Instagram, I was literally shaking in my room. I was so nervous. My negative thoughts were like, Tiwa, this is cringe. Who do you think you are? Like, your skin isn't even clear enough to be on camera. Like, people are going to laugh at you. But I had to remind myself that the message in me that I'm bringing to the world is so much more important than one person somewhere not liking what I've said, right? Because what if there's 100 people who need to hear what I have to say, you know? So yeah, don't, like, it's not your job to be in the business of struggling about thinking about whether they like you or not. It's your job to show up as your true, authentic self. And if they like you, brilliant. And if they don't like you, then bye.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think it's all like you mentioned, like showing your interests and your strengths and then showing us up as your true authentic self. I think there's, you know, just a strong theme coming through here that it is all a journey about yourself and working on you. So, you know, a lot of us look for like external validation and, you know, other people to prove that we are something, whether that's, you know, accolades or compliments or likes on social media and stuff. But I think what we're really discussing here is that it's about the inner work that you do on yourself. And that's how you're going to become the person that you are kind of what you're hoping to become. That's that confident person. The last fear that people mentioned that they were really, really, really scared of, and I think it's maybe true of the pandemic at the moment. There's a lot of people who are looking for new jobs, new opportunities, changing their lifestyle. And it's kind of linked to criticism in a way, or it can often feel like criticism when you might get rejected from something, because you think potentially rejection is a form of, you know, someone telling you that they don't like you, or, you know, or they're critiquing, or there isn't something right and you're not perfect again. How do you handle rejection yourself, and how would you recommend other people look at reframing rejection?
So it's quite similar to failure. First things first is rejection will always hurt. Even now, rejection still hurts. No matter how hard you work on your confidence, no matter what level you are in your career, rejection is always going to hurt. Why? Because you've been brave enough to put yourself out there, to go after something you really want. And then, you know, someone has said no. And so for me, I would look at it like no can mean many things. No doesn't necessarily mean you're not good enough, right? No can mean the timing isn't right, you know? No can mean that maybe you need a little bit more growth, right? Maybe you need a bit more experience in some other fields before. No can also mean, you know, maybe there's another, it's out of their control. There's another external situation. So for example, I quit my full-time job in December of 2019 to run Confident and Killing It full-time. January and February was going good. In March, I started to get bookings for the next 3 months to like run workshops and do like public speaking. And then the pandemic hits and I'm getting cancellation email after cancellation email after cancellation email. And each one was like a blow to my chest.
That must have been really tough. Like, really, really
so tough. So tough. Like the amount of tears that I cried that week, I can't even explain, because it was just like 3 months worth of income gone. Yeah. And I didn't have any like freelance jobs. I didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, I literally quit my full-time job, gave myself 3 months to build a sustainable
business. I've literally just done that myself. So I'm literally like, oh my goodness, thinking about if I'd have, you know, if in 3 months time, the pandemic gets worse, I'm thinking like, oh, what if I put myself in your shoes right now? So I'm ready and I'm listening to this advice right now, because I'm literally in the shoes that you were in December 2019, about to step on that journey. And I know that, you know, everything you mentioned, I'm going to face failure. I'm going to face, you know, criticism. I'm going to face rejection at times. And like you say, like, I bet you it hurts so much every time someone replied to you and said, look, we can't, this isn't going to work because of X, Y, Z. And, you know, and that, you know, how did you even handle that? And how are you still going now? Because I think it's really, really tough to get over that.
Yeah, definitely. So when all those kind of like rejection emails were coming in, my negative thoughts were like, this is the end. There's no way you're going to bounce back from that. But I had to ask myself, and this is what I said, challenge the negativity. So I was like, okay, my negative thoughts are telling me I can't bounce back from this. Fine. So I said, okay, how can I challenge this? And I was like, is this the story I want for myself? That the pandemic happened, or I got rejected and I gave up? And I was like, no, that's a lame story. I don't want that story for myself. I want my story to be that I'm seeing the most growth that I've ever seen before. I'm, you know, I'm building a community of women all over the world, etc. And I was like, that's the story I want. So I'm going to go after that. And so you've got to realize that when people cancel things from you, you have to be able to invest in things that they cannot take away. So they could cancel my opportunities. They could reject me from situations, but they can't cancel the confidence that I have in myself. They can't cancel the belief I have. They can't cancel the creativity that I have. So when people don't give you opportunities, create your own opportunities. That has been a consistent theme all my life, right? And so I began to create my own opportunities. I decided that I want to create an online webinar series, because no one wanted to book me for Zoom. Everyone was like, what the hell is Zoom? Like, no, like the energy won't be the same. It has to be in person. And I was like, you know what? Fine. I'm going to run my own Zoom webinars. And I called it Killing It as an Entrepreneur. And I ran a series of online webinars that were all about having empowering conversations with female entrepreneurs that I really admired. And we talked about everything from money to building a personal brand, to building community, to strategy, everything you need to know to kill it as an entrepreneur. And that webinar series absolutely exploded my business, because so many women from all over the world joined. Over 1,000 women joined. They loved it. They began recommending Confident and Killing It to, you know, friends, families, even in their workplaces. So then they would then go back to work and be like, we need to book this speaker called Tiwa to come in and run a workshop for us. And then before I knew it, all of these people who had come to this online webinar that I just put on by chance were then telling me, oh, Google wants to book you for a workshop, or, you know, Facebook wants to book you for a workshop, right? So again, that was me. When big brands didn't want to give me an opportunity, I created my own opportunities. And then guess what happened after I started running that webinar series? All the people that rejected me earlier or canceled my opportunities came back, were like, hi, Tiwa.
I put my rates up.
Yeah, you know, like, we saw you now run online workshops. We would love to book you. And I was like, oh, okay.
Here's it up. Amazing. Absolutely. Look at the way you reframe that, like, you know, kind of rejection and people who are kind of, you know, saying that they couldn't work with you for whatever reason. You've literally flipped on its head, and now you have, you know, an amazing business. And I think if you look back now, if you hadn't have been through that, do you think your business would be in a completely different place? And you maybe would, I don't know, I kind of sometimes feel like rejection or failure or criticism is sometimes one of those things that actually spurs the fire in you, and it kind of creates absolutely. You to put you on a different path, you know? So
absolutely, yeah. I think some amazing blessings in my life have come from getting rejected. So another really quick story on rejection, if there's time, was the time I went to the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy in South Africa. Now, this is a really crazy story. So when I graduated from university, I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to get a job. I was just putting so much pressure on myself. So the first job that gave me, literally. Yeah. And so the first job that said yes to me, I was like, yeah, I'll take it. I didn't really think about what it entailed. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I found myself now living in Oxford and working in the marketing department for an engineering company that's selling like plastic caps and plugs and like PCB boards that go into printers and stuff. And I was just like, huh? Like, how did I end up here? This is so not me. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I start daydreaming, and then I was watching like a Super Soul Sunday episode one evening, and Oprah mentioned that she had a school in South Africa. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. How does Oprah have a school in South Africa? And I don't know. So I went onto the website, but there were no contact details whatsoever. And I was like, damn, how on earth am I going to find anyone who works here? So the next day I'm like in the group chat with my girls, like, ha ha ha, how funny would it be if I quit my job and moved to Oprah school to teach? And my friend was like, oh, I actually know someone who did that. I can introduce you to her.
Oh my goodness. What are the chances? That's amazing.
What are the chances? Like, literally, my mind was blown. And I was just like, whoa. Okay. So then she introduces me to, because she went to college in America, and her college had an exchange program where students would go to Oprah school and teach there as an exchange. So she introduced me to one of her friends who actually did that. And then I spoke to the girl, I told her my mission, I told her my ideas. I wanted to actually go there and run like an entrepreneurship program for the girls there, not necessarily teach, but just kind of like be a mentor to them and teach them like business skills and stuff like that. Cause that's what I was really into, even though I didn't even have a business at the time, but any reason to go. And then, so my friend like introduces me to the girl. I speak to her, I tell her what I'm about, and she's like, oh, you sound amazing. I'm going to introduce you to the headmistress. I'm like, in a space of literally a week, I went from not knowing anyone in the school, not having any contact details, to being introduced to the headmistress.
That is incredible.
So literally so crazy. And so I get introduced to the headmistress, send her an email about the program I want to come and run. It was called Shine, and I wanted to come and run this program for the girls at the school. And she was like, oh, thank you so much. This looks lovely. We will review your application with the 1,000 applications that we got.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh. I was like, who the hell has this idea as well? Why are there 1,000 other people trying to do what I'm trying to do? Like, go away. But naturally, it's Oprah Winfrey School. Of course, it's going to be competitive.
Yeah.
So then, like, a couple of weeks later, I get an email from the school and they're like, thank you so much for your application, but, you know, the timelines are a bit too tight and we don't think this program is needed in our school right now. So thank you so much. And that rejection was so painful because I didn't need to get that opportunity. But why did I get so far to be rejected at the last moment? And that's what rejection is, why it's so painful, because you get so far and you can almost feel it and you're visualizing yourself and it's like, boom, the door is shut. And so I was just like, wow, okay. So anyways, I kind of just like let that go. I found another job opportunity. I moved back to London. I started Confident and Killing It, like started making my videos because I was dedicated to that cause. So whether they accepted me or rejected me, I was going to keep doing what I believed.
I think because you'd already put yourself out there, right? You'd already gone, this is everything I would do. If I could do it in this school, I would do it in this way. Like you'd already thought through all that process. So yes, it would have been a waste to think, well, I'm not going to do anything with this.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to go do it myself. Like, yeah,
exactly.
Amazing.
And that's, again, when people don't give you opportunities, create your own opportunities. If you really believe in something, just because someone's not ready to give you a chance doesn't mean that you should give up on it. Create your own opportunities. Give your own self a chance, right? And that's what I did. So I gave myself the chance. I started creating videos online and creating inspirational and personal growth content. And then I had started a new job in London and the new job required me to travel to South Africa for a conference. And then at this point, I think I had put on like 3 different events for Confident and Killing It in the space of like 6 weeks. And I had done an event in Lagos. I had done an event in London. I went to New York and I did an event there as well. And then something just popped into my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to South Africa. Why don't you get in touch with Oprah School again and see if you can come and deliver your own personal Confident and Killing It talk to the girls there? And I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I was like, I'm only going to do this again if I get a yes, because I'm not about to be rejected twice. Like that's not an option. So I then created a video of my talk in Lagos, London and New York, put it all together in one, like a 3-minute teaser video. And then I emailed the headmistress again. And I was like, hello, headmistress. It's been a year since I last spoke to you. In case you are wondering what I've been up to, I've like launched my own initiative. I've been giving talks all over the world. And I happen to be in South Africa for a work trip. I would love to come to the school and talk to the girls there. And she was like, wow, Tiwa, this is amazing. Absolutely. We'll pick you up from the airport. We'll bring you to the school. You can have lunch with the girls. And literally,
that
before
is how
I knew
you bounce
it,
back from rejection. That is how you do it. That's amazing. Honestly, like listening to that story has, oh, it gave me a weird like chills actually, because I just think like sometimes things come full circle and what might not be right for you at one stage in your life might come to you later down the line. Mm-hmm. And you just can never predict that. So, you know, trying to like get out of that negative mindset, because I know that from, you know, from following you for a while, negative mindset is probably one of the most like damaging things that we can have. And it can really get you down. So you've just shown how not having a negative mindset has managed to literally reframe your whole life. Someone who is trying to like, you know, who maybe feels like when something like that happens, they're not as confident as you. They're not going out there and doing these things. What's the small kind of tangible ways that you can start thinking to start reframing that mindset so you can start thinking more positively and then hopefully start thinking in the way that you start thinking?
You know, I wouldn't say there's nothing like special about me. Like I was born the same way everyone else was born. You know, I wouldn't say I've got like Einstein's kind of brain, right? I'm literally just a normal girl. Now, I just made a choice of how I wanted to live and the life I wanted to experience. It's literally a choice. So it's not about, oh, more confident people can do this and less confident people can't do this. Anyone can be confident. Anyone can have this level of confidence that I'm showing. All you have to do is make a choice and make another choice and make another choice. And then it gets more comfortable and then you get used to it and then it becomes your norm. I was one of the most insecure teenagers ever. My mind was a mess. I was super negative. I just thought I wasn't creative enough. I thought I wasn't good enough. I thought I wasn't skinny enough. All of these things were my reality for the longest time. But when I realized that I could actually have a different life, I made a decision to change that. So your life is a summation of the choices that you make. You can either make choices that are away from the person you want to become and are stuck in fear and negativity, and that's your reality, or you can make choices that take you closer to being your positive, truest, most authentic self and live freely and experience all the joy in the world. So for me, I just think, don't overthink it. It's actually really easy to build your confidence. You have to just make a choice that that is what you want and be willing to bet on yourself. So a lot of us don't play out the full movie, right? We think, oh, I want to launch a business. Okay. But what if it fails? And we just go, okay, what if it fails? Full stop. All right. We don't think, but what if it succeeds? And when we think, but what if it fails? We don't think about what thinking, what if it fails is going to have, what effect is going to have on us, right? Okay. So you think, what if it fails? Then you feel awkward, you feel nervous, you feel scared, and then you retreat. You don't take action. Then you keep thinking about the business you wish you had launched, but you never launched. And then you feel the regret of that. And then you feel unfulfilled in life because you're not honoring your calling. That is what happens when you make choices to go down the path that is the sabotaging path. But there's another path of empowerment, okay? So let's say you start thinking, what if I succeed? Okay, what if I succeed and I actually launch this business and people start buying from me and my business becomes like a household name? Or what if I start that blog and then people read my blog and then I get approached about a book and then I become a bestseller? Like, there's so much exciting possibility that comes from the positive side as opposed to the negative side. So you just need to make a choice every day. Which energy do you want to be on? And then take action that actually aligns with that energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel so uplifted already. I feel like this is going to be one of those podcasts that, you know, even though I've been in the podcast, I'm going to be listening back to it multiple times to remind myself of all of these amazing tips and advice, because I think it's so true. The more that you can follow your positive energy and the more that you can bring that in, it's just so important, and it's going to have a knock-on effect to the rest of your life. Tiwa, I would love to ask you more about your 20s and kind of how you kind of feel. I'm not even sure how old you are at the moment. You seem like you're so wise.
I'm 28.
Like 28. Okay, so you're near the end of your 20s. Like, how, you know, you've been on such a journey so far, but has there been one moment in your life where you've slipped up and you've made like a massive, you know, error, or, you know, you just done something and you think, oh my God, How can I call myself an adult? This is so embarrassing. Like, I don't want anyone to know about this. And you just feel like, maybe feel like a bit of a failure, or maybe just like total cringe. Have you got anything that springs to mind?
So there was bird poo on my car and I thought, oh, if I should use a baby wipe, because if a baby wipe can be used on a baby, it must be like super soft. So yeah. I used a baby wipe on my car and it literally like peeled off the paint.
Oh my gosh.
It peeled off the paint on my car, no. Which apparently is actually really stupid of me, because wipes have like chemicals in them that
I would have totally used a baby wipe.
Yeah,
to wipe my car.
It's used on babies.
I thought that's common sense. Like, you know, yeah, if you can use it on a baby's bum, then you can definitely use it on on a bonnet
but
of a car.
Apparently, car paint is more sensitive. And another time I went out the night before my flight and I was just hand-packed. And I was still like drunk, like packing for a flight at Heathrow. And then I don't know why I didn't just think to take a taxi. I then thought it'll be quicker to get the tube. And so I sit on the tube and I'm just like this. I was just so like, you know, when you're still kind of tipsy and you're trying to function as a human being.
And you think you're functioning well, but you're actually in real life not.
But you're like actually not. Yeah. And my sister was like, Tiwa, we're going to miss this flight. And I was like, no, be fine. Don't worry. So that was the first flight I ever missed.
Oh my God.
Going to New York. And it was like, my sister had like, because it was like fashion week. And so it was like, there was a whole schedule of everything that we were meant to do. And then we were just sitting in Heathrow and she's just there like crying. And I'm just there like, oops, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. So never going out the night before a flight.
Okay. I think they're great stories, to be fair. I think, you know, it makes, when everyone's listening to this, I think it makes you feel like when you do those things, you feel like you're the only person in the world to have ever experienced and done something like so stupid. But everyone has those stories where they've messed up and like you'll learn something from it or you may do it again. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things that we all go through it and it's just part of life, isn't it? No one's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
So honestly, you sound so confident. You've obviously got an amazing message, a brilliant community that you've created. But is there anything that kind of is holding you back at all? One of the things we really like to promote at Talk 20s is the fact that not everyone is perfect, like we've just mentioned, and everyone is still working through something. What are you working through at the moment that you kind of want to improve at and you want to be better at?
I think for me, I definitely want to get better at delegating and asking for help, because one of the biggest challenges for me as a full-time entrepreneur is I always need to make decisions. It's like, you know, what direction is my business going to go in? What color do I want here? What am I going to do there? It's like decisions on decisions on decisions. And I'm one of those people who is like, oh, I'll just do it myself. It'll be quicker to just do it myself than to teach somebody else how to do it and ask for help and go through that whole process. But actually, when you collaborate more and when you ask for help, you actually unlock more creativity and more innovation than you just quickly rushing through everything, doing it on your own. So last year I experienced like the worst burnout that I've ever experienced in my life. And it was a big part was I didn't realize you could actually get burnt out from doing what you love. I always thought burnout just came from feeling unfulfilled in life, but actually you can still get burnt out doing what you love if you don't kind of like find that balance and really honor all your different values. So for me, it's definitely been like, okay, delegating, collaborating, and living life on my own terms. Like I reply your email when I reply your email. Like it's my life, it's my pace, my rules. And I'm not going to feel rushed by society that I have to tick this box and that box and move so quickly. I'm going to live on my own pace. And if you want to work with me, you work with me on my own terms, not on your own terms necessarily. So yeah, still learning to be unapologetic, ask for help, learning to say no as well, because I'm such a yes person. I want to help everyone. I want to support everything. Yeah. But it's just like, there's only one of me.
But you are one person, Tiwa. Like you're one person. Exactly. You can only do so much. Like you can only do so much. One of the things that I absolutely love about you is you describe yourself as like, if Beyonce and Oprah had a baby, it would be you. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because obviously the two of them must be a huge inspiration to you, right?
Yeah. So I say that because I feel like I have that kind of like Oprah wisdom in terms of helping people, in terms of like helping people feel seen and know that they matter and really breaking down complex ideas into tangible things that people just get. Like people always say to me like, Tiwa, you know, I've heard this before, but the way you say it, it just clicks. And I think I have that really unique skill to do that. So that's like definitely the Oprah side. But at the same time, like I'm 28, I'm young, I'm living my best life. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to bring in that a bit of Beyonce energy, you know, being the main character in my life and everything. Like I love Oprah, but I'm not a 60-year-old woman. I'm still very much a baby girl. So I still have to live my best baby girl life and bring that Beyonce energy where I am unapologetic in who I am and I love myself and I'm not afraid to show up as, you know, as a baddie and own that, you know?
I know from your podcast that you saw Beyonce at Coachella as well. Have you ever seen Oprah live?
I have actually. Have you? I saw Oprah live in February of 2020. She had like a Oprah Vision 2020 world tour. So before lockdown kicked off and the world. Literally just before. So I saw her live in San Francisco and it was so awesome.
Oh my goodness. That would be my absolute dream. So I've seen Beyonce, but I've never seen Oprah. So that would be amazing.
Yeah. She has such a calming energy.
Thank you so much for spending your time with us today and chatting through everything about confidence and mindset. It's been so uplifting for me. So I'm sure anyone listening right now will be totally uplifted by listening to this podcast. Where can we find out more from you? What have you got coming up? What exciting projects are you working on at the minute?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was such a fun conversation. So I'm launching two really kind of exciting things in September. So I right now, like, I'm expensive, okay? In terms of like yes, my girl. One-to-one coaching, I'm expensive, I'm not gonna lie. And I don't even need to explain why I'm expensive, it's pretty obvious. But I want to make sure that my coaching and all the knowledge that I have and I work with my clients one-on-one is available to everyone. So I want to launch, I will be launching like a coaching subscription where you can get group coaching and pay monthly and be part of a private community. And you can also get online courses to support your learning throughout. So that's definitely something I'm going to be launching to make sure that all the knowledge that I have is accessible to everyone out there, because I believe every single woman and girl deserves to love and believe in herself. So I want to make sure that my work is very accessible. So that's going to be really exciting in September. So yeah, everyone look out for that. And also, yeah, the Confident and Killing It podcast is where I really share all these practical gems and tools on imposter syndrome and, you know, redefining success on your own terms and finding out if your mind is sabotaging you and how to practically reframe that. So this was just a quick hour of me sharing tips snippet. Here and there.
It's a great podcast. I really recommend that people go over and listen to it.
I've got 28 episodes, right? So yeah, loads of gems in there for you to check out. And then I'm mostly on Instagram. So if you want to slide into my DMs, you absolutely can. So you can reach out to me at Confident and Killing It or on my private page at Tiwa Lola, my personal page, sorry. Yeah, at Tiwa Lola on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Tiwa. It's been amazing to chat to you, but I always end the podcast on one simple question. And it's, if you could look your 20-year-old self in the eye and give her one piece of advice, what would you say?
Oh, this is such a cute question. I think when I was 20, I really struggled. Like, my body was just all consuming. It was all about my appearances. So looking back at my 20-year-old self, I would say there is more to you than what you look like. There is more to you than how much you weigh. Your appearance is not your worth. Your appearance is not your identity. Your body is a vessel. And focus on the greatness inside of you and unlocking that greatness, as opposed to focusing on how much you weigh or how flat your tummy is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much. It has been so amazing to chat with you. Thank you so much for your time today. Make sure you go
Thanks
and check out Tiwa's platforms. She's incredible to listen to. She's incredible to follow. Thank you for listening today. And thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Talk 20s podcast. I hope it inspired you in some way and pops a little pep in your step for this week. Got a spare minute? It would mean the absolute world if you could subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with a friend. We're on a mission to help as many 20-somethings navigate their 20s as we can, and we really cannot do it without your support. We also love to hear from you. You can find us on all platforms via the handle at Talk20s. And if you're struggling with something in your 20s that we haven't already covered in the podcast, DM us and let us know so we can cover it in a future episode. And for more stories of inspiration and resources to help you make the best of your 20s, head to our website, talk20s.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Talk 20s podcast. I hope it inspired you in some way and pops a little pep in your step for this week. Got a spare minute? It would mean the absolute world if you could subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with a friend. We're on a mission to help as many 20-somethings navigate their 20s as we can, and we really cannot do it without your support. We also love to hear from you. You can find us on all platforms via the handle at Talk20s. And if you're struggling with something in your 20s that we haven't already covered in the podcast, DM us and let us know so we can cover it in a future episode. And for more stories of inspiration and resources to help you make the best of your 20s, head to our website, talk20s.com.